Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. He's Big Joe Dubin, Chase McKay with you on this Monday. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier as well. We say hello to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. He is online with us. Hutt, what's up?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. The Super Bowl is set. Kansas City and the Swifties against San Francisco and the 49ers. Who do you think should be more disappointed today? Fans of the Ravens and Lamar Jackson because Lamar once again can't win the big one, or fans of the Detroit Lions?
Oh, it's the Lions fans. Because the fans of the Detroit Lions grew in a massive amount over the last 5 or 6 weeks. And maybe throughout the season, but going back to the first opening game against Kansas City, and the way they led that game, the script was laid out there for them. They were booking hotels. They were already thinking about the parties with Eminem and Kid Rock. I'm even bummed. I mean, I think everyone is. If you're not a fan of Detroit, you're a fan of wanting the best for the Lions fan base. If you were just, looking at the team's remaining, at least that's all I felt. It sucks. I'm trying to think of the feelings that they had post game. I can't imagine. And it's on to Brock Purdy now. I think it's the Brock Purdy train.
So Lamar Jackson, though, like, how should we view him? He's about to win his second MVP, but they have one of the best teams in football, and now they're going home. They're not playing in the Super Bowl, and once again, I mean, we saw it firsthand, in 2020 when the Titans went to Baltimore and beat them after the first MVP. So how should we view Lamar Jackson right now?
Well, right now in the moment, I mean, the best quarterbacks of every era are judged on what they do in the playoffs. Jackson has not delivered during the window of opportunity that is a big window of opportunity right now for him. He is a great player. He is off the mark when it's time to match the best in the postseason. And, if we're just comparing the best, it's Mahomes and Kelce. I mean, they stand to deliver. They're on the largest stage, and they do it every single time. They have what Baltimore is lacking. I'm saying in the moment, in the clutch. And that's one of the qualities is clutch. Chemistry, consistency, confidence. That is the pursuit of Lamar Jackson. That's the pursuit of every quarterback in the NFL. But none of them can climb to the platform that Mahomes stands on. And to do that, you have to match just moment for moment. And time again yesterday, Jackson is just a little off the mark. It's not an inaccurate pass. It's just either he or the receiver are a step or two behind. It's not like there are moments where you, like the tip pass where he goes, catches it. I mean, he's like a half step away from busting an 80-yard run. Instead, it's a 25-yard run. And in the case of Mahomes, it's 3rd and 8, and they're moving the sticks. He's 11 for 11 with Kelce. I mean, it's just they're going all over the place. And meanwhile, Jackson's going home. And there's something about Kansas City. I don't know why they continue to be the underdog in the postseason, but they are again. And, I'll end up doubting them again because I think San Francisco is built to win a title. But really, the team that's been built and has is KC.
Do you think, Jonathan, we're talking to Jonathan Hutton this morning, look, Chase and I back in October, we picked four teams to get to the Super Bowl. We picked, Kansas City, San Francisco, Miami, Dallas, of the field. It's just, to me now, just so much average football being played now that if you're slightly good, you got a great shot of making a nice run in the playoffs. I'm not saying that Kansas City's slightly good. That's a good football team, but there's just a lot of average around the league right now, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Joe. I mean, Baltimore was above average, though. I mean, when you see what when they are facing playoff teams and what they've done, I mean, they shellacked the best of the best this year, the best of the just above average. And then whenever they faced KC, KC was losing to some of those teams that were just about average. I mean, we were, what was it, four or five or six weeks ago, the Las Vegas Raiders beat KC at Arrowhead 20-14. And then we see what they did yesterday to Baltimore, where they're holding them to the lowest point total of the season. I mean, that was the biggest surprise. And maybe that's their defense is well above average if we're just looking at what they've done. And same should be said for Baltimore. But there is just a confidence and a connection that KC group has. And it's not every single player, but when you need a play, I mean, Sneed coming through to knock that ball out at the half yard, that's the championship measure that teams either have or they don't. And yesterday is a prime example. One player is losing the football there. One player is, you know, punching a bench and cutting his finger. And another one is recovering a football in the end zone and getting the football back to where KC goes on to win that game. And I thought it was a really fun game to watch. Low scoring, really fun game, hard hitting. It's what you want. And then the comeback by San Fran, what they're down at halftime and how they come back and win. The aggressive play calls that Campbell has been known for and said he would continue to do. Ultimately, if he, you know, kicks a field goal, I saw some, I think it was RG3 that said, hey, sometimes biting the kneecaps is actually just kicking the field goal and taking three. It's disappointing because the teams that have the little, just a little bit extra, you know, the pretty good, slightly above average Joe, they're winning. And the offensive line play and the receivers, the dropping passes and the quarterbacks that we saw, so many backups, that leads to what we saw across the league, which is just kind of even a below average state of the NFL when it comes to offense. With all the rules stacked against them, Joe, the offenses weren't that great. And I think the defenses have caught up a bit to the bootleg game. And now it's time for the adjustments to be made by all these young coordinators.
You think it's disheartening if you're a Titans fan seeing a team like Kansas City, seeing a team like San Francisco, when they're just so good at every position, knowing that this Titans football team is not really good at a lot of positions?
Well, so no doubt. And I think here's the window of what San Francisco's doing compared to what Kansas City has done. Kansas City has latched on and identified. They've got Andy Reid, who is just a winner. I mean, he's in the top five of win percentage. And when you look at it, the number of games that he has coached is insane for his winning percentage. Then he's latched on to Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes is, you know, on the GOAT path. I mean, he is headed towards it with his chance to win his third Super Bowl here with his four tries. And on the flip side, San Francisco, the looking at what the other teams would covet, they have a quarterback right now in Brock Purdy who's making $850,000. That's the most he can make through next year, by the way, because he's not eligible for a contract extension until after next season. And knowing that, and seeing what he is doing with, at some point, you can't luck into winning this many games if you're Brock Purdy and not be above average, not be a good quarterback, not be just a product of the system. He's getting blitzed. He's getting hit as he throws right up the pocket yesterday and delivers a strike to Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel in two different times. Quarterbacks aren't doing that. And it starts there. You have to have the presence and just the overall quarterback polish that you can stand and do that and deliver in the NFL. Not everybody does it, and it starts there. And you can make players around you better. You can make offensive linemen who get beat at the line of scrimmage better. And other teams can't do it. The Titans haven't been able to do it. They've got to find that guy, and now it's Will Levis's job.
And how do you think that Brian Callahan is going to help him do that with – whoever he brings on his staff? We know that Brian Callahan's going to call plays. So yep. What do you think that looks like moving forward?
Well, I mean, so for Will Levis is going to have the investment around him with every opportunity to be a franchise quarterback if he wants to match that investment. And I say this just reading and diving into Callahan's background. Callahan is going to tailor his coaching and his development to fit Levis's attributes and his personality. And he's going to run an offense that is emphasizing the quarterback, not the backfield. So when Levis or any other quarterback works with Brian Callahan, they should already be able to trust him. Because look at the talented roster of quarterbacks that Callahan has personally worked with and helped develop over his career. It is an exceptional list. Manning, Stafford, Burrow, there are many, many others that maybe he didn't work with, but he was behind the scenes with as a quality control coach, or just being around his father who was working with other quarterbacks. He has earned their trust, the trust of those QBs. And I think that's a huge detail to remember. But the staff is massive, Chase, because – and I look at the defensive coordinator position, but it goes throughout because he's got to layer his staff to develop talent and then get the most out of the elite talent with the high picks that they're going to require and free agency. But the D.C. spot is a huge position in L-Down because they can all say it's not a huge deal that he's calling the offense. But I think it is extremely difficult to be a first-time head coach, calling plays, you're managing the game, you're trying to decide if you should throw a challenge whenever the defense is on the field and you're coaching up the offense, and you've got to make quick decisions, and then potentially stressing, about why the defensive game plan isn't working or communication is lacking. So he's got to find his defensive head coach. And the first staff of a head coach that he puts together usually is not the finished product for what leads to coaching longevity. But the first defensive coordinator that Callahan selects, he's got to be excellent with concepts and communication, which is what Callahan is also known for. So he's got to find a version of Brian Callahan / defense. Because if he does, I think that makes everything else that he's going to do that much easier to actually accomplish, which is already a difficult hill to climb.
Going to be interesting. That is definitely for sure. Hutt, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep, thank you guys. Have a great week.
You too. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, and appreciate him joining us here on the program. We'll come back, tell you what day it is, and also celebrity birthdays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.